As we continue our weekly series on the Ten Commandments, please join me in the reading of the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or goods, nor get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his goods and means of making a living. I was surprised to find out a few years ago that the United States Secret Service was originally established by President Abraham Lincoln, and their first task, and the reason it was actually put together, was because at the time of Lincoln, one out of every four bills circulated in the United States currency system was counterfeit. Just think of that. One out of every four bills was counterfeit. Way up in northern Minnesota, there's a town called War Road, and they've got a great hockey team. Every once in a while, they make it to the state tournament. And when War Road makes it to the state tournament, just about everybody in town comes down to St. Paul, to the Civic Center, to watch their team play. Because of that, the community has to hire local law enforcement from other communities to come and watch their property while they're all down at the hockey tournament. Same thing happens down in Florida. When it is published in the newspaper that there's going to be a funeral at a certain time for someone, many churches now have established a practice of having one of their members go and sit at the house of the bereaved so that their home is not broken into, because it's public knowledge they wouldn't be there during that time. It's presently estimated that one out of every 20 customers that goes into a department store shoplifts. One out of 20. That 5% or more of all merchandise is stolen. Now, think what that does to the prices as well for those of us that pay for things. It's amazing how much time and energy and money needs to be expended every day on just making sure nobody takes our stuff. It's just amazing to think about the keys we have, the security systems, the passwords on our computers, the police force that we pay to have and protect our things, security systems, security cameras. It's just amazing all of the different areas in which the problem of theft and stealing covers. And it even goes into areas that we maybe don't initially think about, like how we use computers with plagiarism, pulling lines down for a paper and acting like it's ours when it really belongs to someone else. Not giving a full effort at our jobs, being kind of lazy at our work, or possibly not paying workers what they really are worthy of, or maybe overcharging customers and so on. Our courts probably deal with the problems of stealing and theft for about 60 to 70% of the things that they have to handle. And sometimes we can find ourselves, too, justifying our own little stealing by saying, well, I don't get paid enough. Because I don't get paid enough, my way of getting back at my employer then is just to not do as much work. My professors ask too much of me. And so because of that, I'm going to take someone else's knowledge and act as if it's my own. My government taxes me too much, way too high a taxes. It's certainly okay for me to withhold telling them how much money I actually make so that I have to pay a little bit less. It's all justifiable. It's interesting that all of us can find little ways to justify our own little areas of taking things from others. But boy, when it comes to somebody taking our stuff, that's a different matter. Do we feel violated that somebody would break into my car and take my tapes or CDs? That somebody would go into my dorm room and take something that belongs to me? How deep-rooted this basic sin of greed and covetousness is inside of the human heart. And you can see it even in little children. From infancy on, parents have to constantly be monitoring their children to think about others. Don't just think about yourself. Think about others. When little kids are offered something in the classroom, there's a rush to get in line to get it first. When parents sometimes have to devise ways of keeping things fair because they know that this is essential in us to want something more than other people. When you're going to divide a candy bar, parents will often say, one of you gets to split it and the other one gets to pick first. Why does that have to be done? Because we're greedy, we're selfish, we think of ourselves first. I want what I want ahead of everybody else. And that basic sin of greed and covetousness in my heart that was there when I was a little kid that my mom and dad had to deal with, it's still there in me today. It's still lingering inside of me today. I've just found better ways to cover it up. Martin Luther put it this way when thinking about this commandment. When humankind is analyzed at all its levels, it turns out to be simply one great wide warehouse of super thieves. One wide warehouse of super thieves. When we look at this commandment and all of the possible ways that we violate it, it makes us realize how desperately we need what happened on the cross, how desperately we need Christ. What a contrast in his life to my life. What a contrast to how he always thought of others first, was always loving, was always obedient. To think that when Jesus was a little child that he never was the one to selfishly jump in line first and want to get the biggest thing first. To think as a teenager when he went down to the marketplace in Nazareth that he wasn't even in his heart thinking about taking and stealing fruits and things out of the vendors' bins. Throughout his whole life, keeping this absolutely spotless, perfect record of holiness regarding this commandment. What a perfect reputation as a neighbor. And how grateful we are to God that God now looks at you and me through that life of Jesus. So when he looks at us, despite our sins and weaknesses, through Christ, he sees you now as the perfect neighbor. Isn't it interesting that the last pastoral act that Jesus conducted before he gave up his life on the cross was to pardon a thief and to give him the sure promise that he would be going to paradise? When we come penitently before God, confessing the many ways that we break and violate this commandment and all the rest, when we come penitently before him, how gracious he is to forgive us and shower us with his forgiveness and mercy, and today even gives you and me that same promise from Jesus' lips of life in paradise. So how do we, as God's forgiven children, bound for heaven, how do we now keep this commandment? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That simple golden rule is one to just keep in our hearts. Love other people in terms of protecting their property, no matter who it is, even the government. Use our earthly blessings that you have been given. Use earthly blessings in a way to serve God and our fellow man, not just yourself. And stay heavenly focused. Remember that it's in heaven where we have all the treasures we could ever want to steal in this life. Your Lord Jesus, your loving Savior, who died for you and has won heaven for you, says it this way: lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen.